Hi, it's David.
And Evie.
From the Little Guys Home Technology. It's been a while since you've heard from us on The Score, but we want to let you know we have a big announcement.
The Little Guys are moving.
But before we move, we need to sell our entire display inventory at our Mokena location with huge store-wide savings.
Every type of speaker, including bookshelf, tower, in-wall, and outdoor.
Every receiver, every subwoofer, cable, headphone, projector screen, turntable, and home theater seat.
Save 10, 20, 30, even as much as 50% off from the best brands in the business, including Klipsch, PSP, SVS, NAD,
Macintosh, Sonance, Sony ES, AudioQuest, and more.
Best of all, you can trust the Little Guys to professionally install anything you buy during the moving sale.
It's the Little Guys moving sale for a very limited time at 191st and LaGrange Road, where Mokena meets I-80. Online at thelittleguys.com or call us at 708-754-8844.
Now at the Little Guys Home Technology, save up to 50% on top performing home electronics during their moving sale going on now at the Little Guys in Mokena. The Little Guys.
It's Macy's big home sale with savings for every room. Pillows and comforters from Hotel Collection, Charter Club, and more, 50 to 60% off. All Cuisinart, 30 to 50% off, plus a $25 mail-in gift card. And take 50% off luggage, plus a $50 mail-in gift card. Plus, get an extra 15 or 10% off with your Macy's card or savings pass. Now at Macy's big home sale. Savings off regular and sale prices. Exclusions apply.
In 33.
This is the official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs.
High fly ball, deep right field. Get out, the tape measure, long gone. Kyle Schwarber's second home run of the game.
Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios.
The Score!
Scoreboard update.
2 o'clock in the Chicago Wolves Update Studio. I'm Julie DeCaro. The Wolves love to feed their fans at Allstate Arena, winning 76% of their home games on their way to the Central Division title. Be part of the winning atmosphere. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. The Cubs have won 11 of their last 13 games, while the former division-leading Brewers have lost 9 of 11. Jose Quintana makes his third Cubs start tonight in Milwaukee, as the Northsiders look to put some space between themselves and the rest of the NL Central. Manager Joe Maddon says the Cubs are playing the Brewers at the right time.
Moving forward, it is one day at a time, absolutely. But you're around our guys. The guys are definitely feeling it a little bit differently right now. The pregame energy is better. The in-game energy is solid. Even if we get behind, it's okay. We're gonna be okay. We're gonna be able to fight and come back. So it's just a different method, more familiar to the last 2 years.
Meanwhile, Ken Rosenthal says that while the Cubs still are looking for a backup catcher to help out Wilson Contreras, Alex Avila is not their top priority. On the South side, Derek Holland and the Sox host Danny Salazar and the Indians tonight. Cleveland is looking to extend their current win streak to 8 games. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, Boston puts pitcher David Price on the DL with an elbow issue, and reliever Steve Cishek traded from Seattle to Tampa for reliever Erasmo Ramirez. The Bears were back at it in Bourbonnais this morning. Today's workout was closed to the public, but Coach John Fox told the media that linebacker Pernell McPhee had arthroscopic surgery on his knee this morning. There is currently no timetable for his return, and Bears running back Jeremy Langford sprained his ankle in a walkthrough last night and missed today's practice. It's the same ankle he injured in 2016, but this time it is believed to be a minor injury. That's according to the Tribune's Rich Campbell. And in hockey, the Blackhawks have agreed to terms with goaltender Colin Delia on a 2-year deal. This scoreboard update is brought to you by LifeLock. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com today. Cubs pregame is presented by BBVA Compass. Tune into the BBVA Compass pregame show before every game. Hashtag live bright. I'm Julie DeCaro. You're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. Next Cubs game on The Score is tonight at 6:35 when the Cubs take on the Brewers on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Oh, baby!
Lynn Casper.
Cubs win! Time to celebrate!
Chicago Cubs play-by-play man.
Almora back. He is at the wall. He leaps. He caught it! He caught it, Almora! Just robbed Matt Adams of a game tire.
All the latest news and notes from the Cubs.
Powering fly ball to right. Way back. What a night for Schwarber. That was a thing of beauty.
Len Casper with Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
Len Casper is brought to you by locally crafted Two Brothers Artisan Brewing. Two Brothers wants you to follow your passion and drink theirs. It's the Bernstein and Goff Show. Anthony Herron is sitting in for the ailing Jason Goff today. And Len Casper is on Twitter at Len Casper. He joins us on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. Len, hello.
Hey, what's happening today, fellas?
Well, we had the feeling that the Cubs eventually would find themselves at a point like this one, feeling like the Cubs again. And I find it interesting that for the first time in a season that has really not been in many ways about the manager, at least I found it significant when before the game yesterday, he kind of stepped up and said, look, let's not get ahead of ourselves here and understand that the baseball is going to baseball on you when you least expect it. So I thought it was significant that he tried to tamp down a lot of the froth at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. And, you know, talking to Joe every day like we get to before the games, he wasn't thrilled with the way the Cubs played Wednesday night in particular. I think the final was 7-2 that night, but they made a couple of defensive mistakes. He felt they should have scored more runs than they did, which sounds interesting, right? They're scoring 7, 8, 9 runs a game, but they've had so many chances to get more. And I think there's a tendency sometimes when you're playing well to just feel like if you win, everything's fine. And you know, managers generally try to kind of nitpick a little bit when your team is playing well. And on the opposite end, when you're struggling, you'll often hear Joe, after a loss, say, we played a really good game today. We just maybe didn't get this guy out, or we had one bad inning. So a lot of times the manager will kind of go in the opposite direction of what the prevailing winds tell you. But, you know, it just so happened that their best stretch of the season has coincided with the Brewers' worst stretch, and, you know, it feels like they're taking on water and that they're just going to kind of fade away, but I'm not so sure that's the case, and I do think that baseball is a kind of a cyclical game in that regard, and that they're probably due a good stretch. They're back home after a 2-8 road trip where they didn't score a ton of runs. That's kind of their calling card this year, and it should be a lot of fun this weekend. I'm expecting a playoff atmosphere for sure.
So then, Len, with that in mind, and we've seen how the Cubs are playing since the All-Star break, we're seeing how the Brewers have played since the All-Star break. So how much weight should we legitimately put on the next three games?
Well, you know, it's only three. We're not quite even into August yet. Still have 2 months to go. But what it is, you know, every game kind of counts as two. So you're a game and a half up. If you can win two out of three here, you gain a little separation. You've got a tough stretch of opponents coming up with the Diamondbacks a couple of times over the next 2 weeks. The Nationals come in next weekend. So, you know, I wouldn't call them unimportant games, but I also wouldn't say that if you lose this series that it feels irreparable in any way. You know, the bottom line is you just try not to get swept, right? You'll gladly take a series win, but the last thing you want to do is come in here a game and a half up and leave a game and a half down.
Some of these at-bats that Anthony Rizzo is having lately, some of these plate appearances, are really something to behold, where if you are an aficionado of watching him, he's taking some pitcher's pitches, where he's seeing it the entire way and setting up his opportunities for looking for a ball in a certain spot in a way that's just as dialed in and as mature an approach as I think I've ever seen from him at any point in his career.
Yep, it's pretty elite stuff. You know, he has put himself in that kind of that Joey Votto category, and it's been really fun to watch. He gets hit by a lot of pitches, we know that. He walks more than he strikes out, which is something Votto does as well. It's a very rare trait in a guy who can hit the ball out of the ballpark. And I think a lot of his teammates are doing similar things. Schwarber had the big night last night. You know, Chris Bryant is just kind of plugging along. I think his on-base percentage is nearing 400. Addison Russell's had, I thought, some, you know, much better games and at-bats. The quality of his approach has really stood out to me here lately. Jason Hayward's been in a nice stretch. Ben Zobrist, after that very bad first half, has looked really good here over the last week or so. And, you know, you turn that into wins when you have a starting pitching staff that's putting up pretty quality outings on a nightly basis. And the length of this lineup right now, it's pretty unstoppable. And, you know, this is the one stretch, guys, that looks like last year. I don't think we'd really had seen them sustain anything that looked like the 103-win run they had last year. This right now looks like the Cubs of old, and you hope it continues. I'm not expecting them to be this good the rest of the season, but man, 11-2 out of the break is exactly what the doctor ordered.
How about John Jay? Is almost a win over replacement in his role.
My guy.
Yeah, he's been awesome. You know, you feel the loss of Dexter Fowler and that you don't have a leadoff hitter you can just plug in every single day and not worry about it. But just because, and I said this on a broadcast the other day, just because the Cubs don't have one guy who does it every day doesn't mean that it's necessarily a weakness on this club. I think Joe does have a lot of options. Jay is a guy who can hit, you know, in the top two spots in the order and can obviously hit in the lower part of the order as well. Zobrist has done kind of a little bit of everything. Schwarber's batted in every spot but the cleanup spot. We've seen Hayward lead off. So I think right now the moving of parts is more about the options Joe has as opposed to trying to necessarily tinker with something to find the right mix, which is what he did throughout the first half. And then the other one is Contreras in the cleanup spot has really been a nice look. Wilson has become a big-time threat in the order. I like the confidence he brings defensively. I feel like he's tightened things up back there. He's going to make some errors occasionally just by being overzealous with his throws, but for the most part, I think it's a big weapon, and the bat really plays. He's become an integral part of this team.
And on July 2nd, that was the day that Miguel Montero made his comments about Jake Arrieta. He was resoundingly just let go of the Cubs. He was DFA'd. And since then, this month of July has been the best month of baseball we've seen from Wilson Contreras. And I, you know, just as a former football guy looking for intangibles and what things mean, I think it's extremely significant that this month, after he has now been able to claim the mantle of being the catcher for the Chicago Cubs, that he's playing this well. Am I reading too much into the significance of the timing of him playing this well?
Well, you know, it's a really interesting point you make, and I can't deny that. And I think Wilson has kind of hinted at the idea that now I know that I'm the guy back here. You know, I feel like I have even more confidence. It could be. It could play some small role in the work he's done. I think the other part is just the fact that he is playing a lot. He knows that he's going to get a lot of at-bats. I think that helps every young player feel like he's a part of it. And then the guys around him have been so good that it may have helped him along the way get a pitch or two that he might not normally see. So, you know, I don't think hitting is necessarily contagious, but I do think it's easier to bat with men on base and with pitchers kind of feeling like their back is against the ropes. And as we saw throughout the White Sox series, the Cubs were invariably in 2-0, 3-1 counts, you know, three or four times an inning. And you can do a lot of damage when the other pitcher does that. And you know, I don't even know if it was nibbling necessarily, if it was just lack of command, but it felt like the Cubs didn't get themselves out a lot, which is something we saw a little bit too much in the first half.
I like the fact, too, that the Cubs seem to be aware of building pressure in these games. And, man, the fact that they have not been giving up first-inning runs, and I don't know that they're doing anything differently. I don't know. But it was so weird, the stretch that they went through. And then have they given up a first-inning run since the break?
No.
They haven't,
yeah,
right? No. But this idea of managing a game from the outset, of being in front of things instead of behind things, being the ones applying pressure instead of having to respond to pressure. Sometimes it all is more of a feeling that I think I'm projecting while I'm consuming the game, but it does have to matter to the guys on the bench.
The baseballs they're throwing are missing the opposing bats a lot more at the start of the game.
Whatever's going on, it's just something different is happening.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, think that there's anything necessarily you can do and say, we got to stop giving up first inning runs.
Right.
You just don't want to. You don't want to give up runs in general, but I do agree that playing with a lead, which they did almost on a daily basis last year and rarely did in the first half this year, you can see that stark contrast. And that's why, you know, I said these 2 weeks have really felt like 2016, and I think that's a big part of it. I do think pitchers tend to relax a little more when they're pitching with the lead, and they may not, you know, feel like they have to be perfect, which allows them to relax. I think there are times when you feel like I have to get this next batter out, you can end up making mistakes, and we haven't seen a lot of starting pitchers in this stretch really be in terribly stressful situations, mm-hmm. and I think that's kind of what you're getting at a little bit. And the offense, to me, is just been a joy to watch from top to bottom, as we've talked about.
So according to Cubs people with whom I've talked right now, I was told 4 or 5 different concurrent active trade discussions. Not talking about any potential blockbusters necessarily, but you never know where these conversations go, just that they are very, very active in making sure that they're out ahead of the market at this point.
Yeah, so. And that makes sense, and I think the latest stretch here makes you more willing to do that. The other thing that'll be on display tonight is the Cubs' big acquisition, Jose Quintana, and a guy the Brewers couldn't get. We don't know just how far into it the Brewers were, but there are reports that they were interested in his services. So not only do you get a top guy in your rotation, you keep him from going to the team you're competing with. So that'll be fun to watch tonight. The Brewers have a couple of guys on the DL. Matt Garza just went on yesterday. Chase Anderson, who's pitched really well, is out. So, you know, they're probably in that mindset right now that they may not want to give up, you know, a lot to go out and get one of the top guys available in terms of a starting pitcher. They brought in Anthony Swarzak, but didn't really have to give up a lot for him. So they're in kind of a weird mode right now in that they're building, but they've been in first place for much of the year. So I'm sure they're having a lot of interesting discussions in their baseball department, and I'm sure the owner chiming in as well regarding what they should do, if they should go for it and give up some young prospects or kind of stay the course and see how it plays out.
Len, I'm curious what you've seen from Jose Quintana through a couple of starts and even the days where he's not on the mound, because we've seen him throughout his career when he was on the South Side and having to deal with the in-game pressure of not having run support. Now, to me, a different type of pressure where maybe he's able to step onto the mound with run support, but there's a different type of pressure of the championship expectations of a team that's supposed to go out and win. Have you seen him manage some of those things of being in a completely different environment from an expectation standpoint?
I mean, I won't claim that I know him well, but just in the times I've been around him and talking to his teammates and people who are around him on the South Side, I mean, they all give him an A-plus in terms of his character, in terms of his ability to get along with people. And then what I see on the mound, I really like. There's some similarities to John Lester. You look at their career the last few years, obviously the numbers are similar, but I think they kind of go about their tasks similarly. And the number one thing for me with Jose is his fastball command. And if you have that, it makes everything else in your repertoire that much better. And these first two starts, save for maybe the first couple of innings of his Wrigley debut, and he might have been a little nervous and was overthrowing a little bit, his ability to spot his fastball just makes that curveball that much better. And I think he's like the perfect guy to put into this rotation, someone you can really count on, who's reliable and can get you deep into ball games. So I think it was a great move for the Cubs. I think it's going to be a good move for the White Sox as well. Eloy Jimenez has just been hitting the cover off the ball since he got traded. And so I think even Cub fans will be looking forward to his big league debut over the next couple of years with the White Sox. You just hope that it's a trade that works out for both sides. And I think those are the best trades that the teams can make.
All right, what really happened between Rizzo and Lackey in the dugout? What was that? Now it's been a couple days, and now something probably is filtered out.
I don't really know, but my guess is it came after the base hit on the hit and run, and so it might have just been about the fact that he gave up a hit on a ball that could have been a double play, and I think John may have even alluded to it the other day. You know, you've got the shortstop covering on a stolen base attempt, so my guess is it was just some aggravation on the pitcher's part. I don't think there was anything specific between Lackey and Rizzo. At least I hadn't heard that there was anything specific.
Okay, because the fact is their defensiveness about it made me more curious. Because had they just said, yeah, you know, we were arguing about something, it's just none of your business. You know, the fact that they tried to close ranks so quickly, it's just the instinct. It's like, well, what are you hiding if it's really nothing?
Yeah, I think it was just more John being John and then Rizzo probably playing along as well. It would be my take on it. You know, it didn't have much context. I happened to see it, but it didn't really make sense to me. We're not afraid to show that stuff. But I hate speculating when we're not really sure. I mean, right. When Carlos Zambrano and Michael Barrett get into a fist fight, it's pretty obvious they're not happy with each other. So it came and went, and my guess is it was not about anything in particular between the two guys.
All right, Len, a fun weekend coming up, and we look forward to hearing your call. Thanks.
Sounds good, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
that
Len.
Is Len Casper, television voice of the Chicago Cubs, and he has been brought to you by AutoZone. Hurry in, save big, get a $20 AutoZone gift card by mail-in rebate when you buy select automotive batteries. Restrictions and details apply. Limit to get in the zone. AutoZone. And if you are watching and you see somebody different in this chair, it's because it's Anthony Herron who is sitting in for Jason Goff. And you can watch us on our live video stream at 670thescore.com. That is brought to you by American Needle. They make the finest quality baseball caps out there. Our phone number is 312-644-6767. Always open for business to get your thoughts on what we are discussing. We got a pair of Cubs tickets we're going to give away between now and 6 o'clock. And coming up at 2:40, we are going to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers with Matt Pauly of WTMJ Radio. He is part of their broadcast team, and he's going to join us in just a little bit right here on The Score.
World champion Cubs manager Joe Maddon talks with a Spiegel and Parkin show.
Monday during the Joe Maddon Golf Hour.
How good is Wilson Contreras right now?
This guy is in the moment. He's got a different motor. We want to keep it revving at that level for the rest of his career.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. Brought to you by State Farm. Here to help life go right. And by Sam Adams. Pursue better.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute. Breaking news, the New York Jets are not tanking. At least that's according to defensive lineman Leonard Williams. He told the Daily News, quote, "We play football to win. We're not here to say that we want a certain record. We want a championship. It doesn't matter what outside people think. It doesn't matter who's here and who's not here." End quote. Respect. I love the attitude. I love the hustle. Every player wants to win. I just don't know that your front office does. I mean, have you seen your QB depth chart? Have you seen Christian Hackenberg and Bryce Petty? The Jets front office obviously did, and they brought in Josh McCown to be QB1. Does it sound like Coach Todd Bowles believes in him? He said, quote, "Even when you go to kindergarten, somebody's got to be the teacher," end quote. So, Leonard, I respect the attitude, but the sad truth is, if you have to convince yourself that you aren't tanking, you probably are. I'm Jim Rome.
Are you planning?
Hi, it's David.
And Evie.
From the Little Guys Home Technology. It's been a while since you've heard from us on The Score, but we want to let you know we have a big announcement.
The Little Guys are moving.
But before we move, we need to sell our entire display inventory at our Mokena location with huge store-wide savings.
Every type of speaker, including bookshelf, tower, in-wall, and outdoor.
Every receiver, every subwoofer, cable, headphone, projector screen, turntable, and home theater seat.
Save 10, 20, 30, even as much as 50% off from the best brands in the business, including Klipsch, PSP, SVS, NAD,
Macintosh, Sonance, Sony ES, AudioQuest, and more.
Best of all, you can trust the Little Guys to professionally install anything you buy during the moving sale.
It's the Little Guys moving sale for a very limited time at 191st and LaGrange Road, where Mokena meets I-80. Online at thelittleguys.com or call us at 708-754-8844.
Now at the Little Guys Home Technology, save up to 50% on top performing home electronics during their moving sale. Going on now at the Little Guys in Mokena. The Little Guys.
Hey, it's Jim. I can't take your call because I'm digging for oil in my basement to pay for my family's mobile bill. A little crazy, you say? Show me a family plan with enough gigs that doesn't cost a fortune. We need a switch.
Switch to Boost Best Family Plan and get four lines for only $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. Metro PCS only gives you 2 gigs per line for the same price. Plus, switch today and get up to 4 free phones, all on the fast and reliable Sprint nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save. Visit BoostMobile.com today.
Macy's Super Weekend Sale sizzles with 30 to 75% savings, plus an extra 10 to 20% off with your Macy's card or savings pass. Men's Levi's jeans, polos, shorts, $19.99 to $49.99. Junior styles 25 to 40% off. Steve Madden and Betsy Johnson backpacks 25% off. Select luggage 50% off plus a $50 mail-in Macy's gift card. Right now at Macy's. Savings off sale prices, exclusions apply. Gift card details in store.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score, official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs, and the place to hear World Series Cubs manager Joe Madden talk with Spiegel and Parkins Tuesdays at noon.
Has it been frustrating to you?
Well, of course it is, because you see a lot of young players that are very good having a tough time. It just is frustrating in general to everybody, because we expect more of ourselves. Come out with a renewed energy about the day, and you expect good things to happen, which is what I do every day.
Joe Madden with Spiegel and Parkins Tuesdays at noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
This is 670 The Score, where Cubs history is made.
The Chicago Cubs win the World Series!
The world champion Chicago Cubs are looking to repeat in 2017. Join me, Pat Hughes, and Ron Coomer for all 162 games, including every thrilling moment of the postseason.
The Cubs have done it!
This is the one place you need to be, Cubs fans. Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
Bears general manager Ryan Pace.
Mitch Trubisky, it has to be equal parts exciting and perhaps frustrating to know that it's just not his time yet.
Definitely exciting. I definitely wouldn't say frustrating. I like the quarterback room a lot. I like the competition in that room. And the Glennon evaluation, that's years in the making. A good spot for kind of Mitch to develop behind the scenes.
Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station, covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Talk Cubs with the Cubs on The Score. Listen to former Cy Young Award winner Jake Arrieta.
No hitter for Arrieta.
And MVP Chris Bryant.
Bryant cracks one in the air. He's hit another one.
Exclusively live on The Score once a week with the Bernstein and Golf Show. Arrieta and Bryant. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs.
CBS Thursday.
Welcome.
TV's number one comedy, The Big Bang Theory, brings you scientific breakthroughs.
The medium-sized asteroid is still an interesting discovery.
I suppose it could end up on a collision course with Earth and destroy life as we know it.
Ingenious inventions.
Our idea's really good.
I cooked it in the easy bake oven of my mind.
And fascinating facts.
For every action, you have a gigantic and annoying reaction.
Just when I thought you couldn't get me hotter.
Don't miss The Big Bang Theory, CBS Thursday, or stream it live or on demand.
Libra, you might think you know best, but listening to others will help you know more. Scorpio, your best bet to get through the week is to over-prepare. Sagittarius, your physicality should be your focus this week in terms of staying healthy and avoiding some slips. Capricorn, if you're heading harder at odds, go with your heart. Aquarius, your decision should rely on the abundance of research and knowledge at your disposal. And Pisces, the best way to start that relationship or get that raise might be to blatantly ask for it. And the rest of your horoscopes are coming up soon, right here.
CBS Saturday.
Great lawyers take risks, and I am a great lawyer.
At Manhattan's top law firm.
This is a giant case, and I'm responsible for a man's freedom.
You've got to be passionate about defending the innocent.
We're talking about hundreds of people sitting in cells that we have the keys to bust out.
Crazy about justice.
Can you win this case?
It won't be easy.
And committed to risking everything.
Our client's blood matches the blood on the murder weapon.
You realize you're not very comforting.
Yeah.
Doubt. CBS Saturday. Or stream it live or on demand.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Yeah, they didn't want to see us coming. It's one of those, you know, you found a really good restaurant in another country when they actively don't want you in there because...
Mean foreigners?
You're American. They're giving you that look. Uh-huh. And there's a sign outside that says, no menu turistico. Like, stay out.
I had one moment like that in Paris. It was one night, and I waited until my wife went to the bathroom to handle it because we were drinking wine, and there was another American couple who was there in the restaurant,
right.
And we were just kind of having a good time. We were being really loud. We were being the loud Americans in the restaurant, and this other couple that was at the table next to us was just staring, just burning holes in my temple with their eyes. I waited for my wife to go to the bathroom. I leaned in. And I spoke to them in English, but they understood what I said, and then they stopped staring the rest of the night after that.
Yeah, our experience was strange in that I looked up, I really researched where to go at this place in Venice that was, and they said, this is the joint, and the concierge says, no, you don't want to go there. Like, well, what do you mean? It's supposed to be great. No, I don't think it's open. I said, no, I checked, it's open. So I'm like, what are you hiding? And we go into this, you know, no, they give us this look and we go in. And I was specifically told in season there's this artichoke called the castraure, which is like Italian for the castrated artichoke, because they're these like little baby, little testicle sized ones, right? And they no castraure. Like, come on. I see other people eating them.
That's it. Right. That's right there.
Sitting
I'm
right
looking
there.
At it.
It's like, no, we don't have any more. Like, come on. So we figure, what the hell? Let's just enjoy. And we order and order and order and order. And just like rounds of food. And I mean, three orders. I mean, just tables just covered in food. And then finally, at the end of the night, completely stuffed, the old woman brings out the artichokes.
Really?
Sets them down in front of me. Like, I earned them.
With and, disgust.
Right, and I'm like, you know, like, I
fine.
And my wife's like, you have to eat those now. I can't. So you just, no choice.
I got a great sommelier story. Maybe we'll get it in the eighth hour, however long you guys are on here. We'll get into it later.
Scoreboard update.
2:30 in the Chicago Wolves update studio. I'm Julie DeCaro. The Wolves love to feed their fans at Allstate Arena, winning 76% of their home games on their way to the Central Division title. Be part of the winning atmosphere. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Jose Quintana and the surging Cubs head to Milwaukee tonight to take on the Brewers. Cubs lead Milwaukee by a game and a half after trailing by 5.5 at the All-Star break. Yesterday on Spiegel and Parkins, Cubs GM Jed Hoyer credited the starting pitching with leading the Cubs' resurgence.
So far in the second half, it's been the opposite. You know, it's felt a lot like last season in terms of the starting pitching, where you know going into the game, you're going to get a good outing, and that just allows everyone to feel better, rest easier, and it allows you to roll off some wins.
So the Cubs lineup for tonight is out. It looks like this. John Jay leads off and plays left field. Chris Bryant at third. Anthony Rizzo at first. Wilson Contreras behind the plate. Jason Hayward in right field. Albert Elmora Jr. in center field. Addison Russell at short. Javi Baez at second. And Jose Quintana on the mound. Pre-game with Mark Grody starts at 6:35 tonight here on 670 The Score. On the South side, the White Sox host division-leading Cleveland tonight. Derek Holland gets the start for the Southsiders. He'll face the Indians' Danny Salazar. And Salazar's second start since coming off the DL. First pitch tonight at 7:10 at G-Rate Field. And in Bears news, linebacker Pernell McPhee had arthroscopic surgery on his knee this morning. Head coach John Fox described the procedure as a cleanup. As of right now, there is no timetable for his return. Bears running back Jeremy Langford also sprained his ankle in a walkthrough last night and missed today's practice, but that injury is reportedly minor. Hey, baseball fans, the UPS stores in Chicagoland want to ship you to the game on August 28th against Pittsburgh. Visit cbschicago.com/contest before August 6th to register to win rooftop tickets. I'm Julie DeCaro, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. Next Cubs game on The Score is tonight at 6:35 when the Cubs take on the Brewers. Right here on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
This scoreboard update was brought to you by Major League Soccer. This summer, Cristiano Ronaldo, Gareth Bale, Sergio Ramos, and Real Madrid face the best players in Major League Soccer. Don't miss the MLS All-Star Game, presented by Target, live on August 2nd at Soldier Field. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com.
So I like this text from the 847 about everything we've been discussing regarding the Cubs and trying to temper some of their excitement here, riding high, beating up on some teams they should beat up on, and slingshotting back into first place. Well, the 847, the 708 says, I hate all this modesty. Just say the Cubs are Mac Daddies and they should walk all over this sorry Brewers team, and there's no reason they don't win the division by 10 games.
Mac Daddies.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you can feel that way, but I also think that Joe Maddon understands that it is July. It's been a great July, but maybe they've been bum-slaying a little bit here, and that there is it's not going to stay quite like this. They're not going to win 8 out of 10 all the way in to the end of the regular season here. There's going to be some difficult stretches, so it's his job to keep them level-headed.
Was the 708 texting from 1992? They're Mac Daddies. That's how he or she wants us to describe the Cubs.
Yeah, I don't think these 24-year-olds are referring to themselves as Mac Daddies.
No, they better not be.
Or Daddy's
or Daddy Max.
Right?
Yep. Neither. Yeah, they are not crisscrossing their way around the base paths.
I don't think so. How old are Chris Cross now? Aren't they in like their late 30s or something?
I'm going to go because I'm 37, and I feel like when they were hot in the early 90s, they were like my age. So I'm going to say late 30s. They probably got a couple of years on Shep. That's my guess.
Okay. And Chris Bryant uses Warming
he
Up
does.
Chris, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, does anybody...
Which is before his time.
Well before his time.
Yeah.
So I made some...
Which seems weird to say Warming Up Chris is before anybody, any professional athlete's time. Because Warming Up Chris was not that long ago. It's not like I was a toddler when
to
it came
you.
Out. I was probably damn near a teenager when Warming Up Chris was hot. What year was Warming Up Chris? Anybody know?
One of them died, actually.
I think they did. Didn't you?
Really?
Did you and Terry used to play a game with that, like Dead or Alive? Am I remembering
it was always,
that right?
No, it's an accident. And we still do it, where anytime Terry thought somebody was dead, the person was alive. And anytime he thought somebody was alive, the person was generally dead.
That was one of my favorite bits. I'm confident it was a bit. I think it was something you guys did all the time.
No.
Because multiple times I'd be driving from somewhere. I'd be like driving from Iowa City back to Bolingbrook or something like that, seeing my folks when I was still in college. I'm listening to you and Terry while I'm driving. I kept hearing this Dead or Alive stuff. That wasn't planned. It wasn't a bit.
No, it wasn't. It was just us being stupid.
It was funny.
Yeah, it was James Christopher Kelly and Christopher Smith, and James Kelly died in 2013.
Well, now texters are saying they're both dead. I don't think they're both dead. We can't just kill off Chris Cross.
We're not allowed
that wouldn't
to
be
do
right.
That.
No. At least not before 4 o'clock.
No, it says Christopher Smith, born January 10th, 1979. They started in first grade. It only has one of them here. Here. Chris Kelly was, he was 34 when he died in 2013.
Okay, so they're about my age.
He had an extensive history of drug abuse. So it said toxicology said he had a mixture of drugs in his system, including cocaine and heroin.
Thank you for including that part, because hearing a guy my age is dead, that there was like an ominous thing that loomed over me for a moment. Then you said the extensive drug use. All right,
so it makes you feel a little bit better.
It does. My drug use is not very extensive. There's a few painkillers in my past, some ibuprofen, some of those types of things, but nothing real extensive, so I feel okay about my chances.
You also played in the NFL when the Toradol shot was like mandatory, right?
Yes, Toradol shots were just like, they would almost hand us the needles with certain teams. Oh, you want some more Toradol? Here you go. Toradol, I didn't realize what a big deal Toradol was until years later. And now I'm at a point where, because of my back surgery, my surgery on both knees and my left shoulder and multiple surgeries on my hands, multiple on my foot, and I've taken so many painkillers in the past. Fortunately, I've been able to avoid addiction for whatever reason, but I was laughing with David Shaw over the weekend about how high my tolerance for any form of pill or medication had gotten, to the point where we were taking a flight to Tokyo for a preseason game one year, and they gave out these boxes of Ambien just to try and regulate our sleep pattern while we're flying over to the Orient. And while we're on the plane, they said, okay, we're going to have a meal, we're going to drop the shades, we're going to give you some Ambien, and then you need to sleep just so your body clock can regulate itself. I must have popped like 3 or 4 Ambien a few hours into the
flight.
There could
be some weird side effects to that,
but
too.
Nothing happened. Nothing. I'm just watching movies on the plane. I'm walking up and down the aisles. The entire plane is asleep. I'm pretty sure the pilot even passed out at a certain point. I'm the only one who's conscious. And then like 90 minutes before we land, after I keep popping Ambien, then I finally got tired. So my body clock was just completely the opposite of what the intentions were.
Yeah, I've stayed away from Ambien because of the stories that I've heard about.
There's some weird stuff going on.
Sleepwalking and really almost like lucid sleepwalking and doing things and that you completely don't remember.
Sleep paralysis. I got a few buddies who've been through that.
Really?
Yeah, where you wake up and you can see and hear but can't move.
Well, that the story that I've heard of was a wife took video of her husband who on Ambien woke up in the middle of the night, started talking, walked downstairs and ate an entire head of celery. Like a gorilla, like not just like pieces of like actually picked up the entire thing from the back end and took bites
just
out of it.
Just directly bit it.
Just took it out of the plastic.
No mayonnaise on bread.
Just ate an entire head of celery.
No ranch dressing.
And then went back upstairs. And like he didn't believe her, and she had the video of it, and he was completely terrified. And like I'm worried. I'm gonna open the computer and start tweeting. You know? So I just like Ambien. No, I'll be okay. Melatonin is the most that I will do. This segment brought to you by the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Drug or alcohol problems for you or a loved one can be solved. And with insurance, treatment may be at little or no cost to you. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now, 800-430-4149. Anthony Herron in for Jason Goff on the Bernstein and Goff Show. Coming up next, Matt Pauly will give us an insider's look at the Milwaukee Brewers. That's next on The Score.
Chicago baseball fans, will there be more big moves for either the Sox or Cubs by the MLB trade deadline? Keep it here. If any news breaks, we'll break in with all the details on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Summer is here. That means outdoor concerts, pool time, and enough SPF to cover a blue whale. It also means it's time for the Hyundai Summer Clearance Event. Slide on your flip-flops and get down to your local Hyundai dealer to get limited-time deals on a new Hyundai. Let the sun ride shotgun in the new Santa Fe Sport with a panoramic sunroof. Haul more friends to the pool in the stylish Sonata with more passenger room than most other cars in its class. Beach chairs, floaties, picnic baskets, pack it all into the roomy cargo space of a new Tucson. Celebrate our shortest season with the kind of joy that lasts, because every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty, including a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. Visit your Hyundai dealer before the sun sets on the Hyundai Summer Clearance Event. Going on now. Lease a 2017 Tucson for only $139 a month for 36 months with $3,139 down. Or get up to $4,000 in total savings. Only at your local Chicago and Northwest Indiana dealers. To learn more, call 877-248-1585. America's best warranty claim based on total package warranty programs. See dealer for limited warranty details.
If you or someone you know has been injured, call Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates, Chicago's top injury lawyers. They've won the largest jury verdict for a back injury, the largest jury verdict for a brain injury, and the largest jury verdict for a neck injury. In fact, they've won the largest personal injury verdict in Illinois history. There are no upfront fees, and you don't pay unless they win. Call 312-800-8000 for a free consultation. That's 312-800-8000. Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates. The attention you expect, the results you deserve.
CBS Wednesday. There are over 150 million asteroids in our solar system. But all it takes is one to end our world.
This asteroid is a planet killer.
And only a few will have the courage to stop it.
We're not waiting for the government to save us. We have to save ourselves.
How far would you go to protect the planet?
I want to live before I die.
Salvation. CBS Wednesday. Or stream it live or on demand.
CBS Thursday. Don't miss a new episode of Zoo.
Let's go! Come on!
The human race is facing new threats.
We pray the barrier wall holds. Mankind's future depends on it.
And fighting new battles.
They think you know how to stop the hybrids.
I can't do this again.
You can run.
We gotta get out of here!
But you can't hide.
They are planning something big, something worse than we've ever seen.
Zoo, Thursday, only CBS.
CBS Wednesday on Criminal Minds.
She's crazy, please! Help!
Sometimes to catch a killer.
She wasn't targeted, she was a witness who had to be silenced.
You have to think like one.
He needs easy targets.
If he sticks to his pattern, he usually kills in twos.
We're ready to deliver the profile.
Dare to go inside.
FBI! Don't move!
TV's number one suspense thriller.
We get into the mind of the killer.
Criminal Minds, CBS Wednesday, or stream it live or on demand.
Pack your clubs, bring your best game, and test your mettle on the Proving Grounds, just 2 hours north of Chicago. Book your package now. Visit WhistlingStraits.com/summer.
Hi.
CBS Tuesday.
What do we know?
NCIS is more than a team.
Care to share?
They're smart.
I am that good.
That is not nothing.
Fearless.
Someone is going to pay for this.
Unpredictable.
I am better than ever.
And most of all,
good just triumphed over evil.
Their family.
Your family is crazy.
Yeah, but they're still family.
TV's most watched drama.
I never get tired of hearing that.
NCIS, CBS Tuesday, or stream it live or on demand.
Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
This is 670 The Score, where Cubs history is made.
The Chicago Cubs win the World Series!
The world champion Chicago Cubs are looking to repeat in 2017. Join me, Pat Hughes, and Ron Coomer for all 162 games, including every thrilling moment of the postseason.
The Cubs have done it!
This is the one place you need to be, Cubs fans. Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs.
Awesome. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I remember last year we were in this clubhouse around the same time, and it's no different. You know, we expect to remain in first place throughout the remainder of the way. You know, we know it's going to be a tough task, but that's kind of what you deal with at the highest level of sports.
Jake Arrieta. And we don't know how Craig Counsell operates, if he prints that out and puts it up there on the whiteboard or if he transcribes it. Hey, Brewers, look what Jake Arrieta is saying about the Cubs and their manifest destiny to stay in first place. And now he can get out there and do something about it, damn it. Nah, I don't think he's probably doing that. But here to tell us about where the Brewers are and what they think they might be is Matt Pauly. He's on Twitter at Matt Pauly Radio, and you hear him on WTMJ, the home of the Brewers. He's with us on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. What's happening, Matt?
Hey, Dan. Hey, Anthony. How are you guys doing?
We're great. So is Craig Counsell the type of guy to say, hey, look what Arrieta said. Look what the Cubs are saying about us, about this stepchild of the North?
Not at all. This is a club that keeps saying, we're just worried about ourselves. If we take care of our business, everything else is going to be fine. Now, if it gets into the final month of the season, maybe that changes a little bit. But I don't think we've hit the point on the calendar yet where they're really locked in on what the other teams, including the Cubs, are doing in the division.
But at 54-50, are they too good for the plan right now? Is what's happening on the field coinciding with the vision of management?
Probably not. I don't think anybody expected to see this team with this record, especially what the record was before this most recent road trip where they only win a couple games. You know, there were thoughts that they would probably sell off again this year at the deadline and add even more talent into the minor league organization. But now they're in a situation where they're contending, they're kind of buying, and we'll see how much more they actually buy before Monday, but they're definitely not selling off. So this is, the way you put it, too good for the plan. The plan has absolutely changed. This is not what the plan was going into this year.
So what's realistic from a transaction standpoint then for the Brewers as you start to approach the trading deadline? I mean, is there anybody else that you're hearing they're likely to make a big run for?
I don't think they're not going to get Sonny Gray. I don't think the price is just going to be too much. The move they made with Swarzak, I could see more deals like that. I'm the only one saying this, but I'm actually more interested in what they might do in the month of August because the payroll is so low. You can go maybe pick up some overpaid guys who pass through waivers and just pick up their salary, and you've got a better chance of being able to sign them. So as far as, is there going to be another move, a small move here, a small move there, another bullpen guy, a back-of-the-rotation guy that they end up acquiring before Monday? Yeah, that can happen, but in no way, shape, or form am I expecting a huge splash.
How important was Eric Thames and what that was to start the year, the surprise that was, and the investment that they made in a guy who'd been doing that overseas but hadn't shown an ability to do that consistently here, and the fact that he was a big baseball story in the first month and maybe to help this team get out ahead of itself a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. All of a sudden, people were hearing about the Brewers. You know, when they were in Chicago, he's front row at the WWE event, and that's all over Twitter and everything. That as they kind of came onto the scene, and they've been on the scene most of the year now because they, up until the last couple of days, they were basically in first place for 2 months. That was the beginning of it. That was what opened the door to all of a sudden the Brewers being a legit team and them kind of everybody on that team feeling it. I think Eric Thames was a big deal. There was media watching Eric Thames. He, you know, MLB Network was interviewing him. There was 9 million people at his locker after every game when there's never more than 3 people at any locker after any game. So it was a big moment.
So with the Brewers being so much better through the first half of the season, or at least through the All-Star break than anticipated, and then conversely, the Cubs being so much worse than we all thought they were going to be, within that Milwaukee clubhouse, where are they at mentally and emotionally right now heading into this next 3 games?
This team absolutely believes. This team thinks that they're going to be in the postseason this year. And that's a credit to Craig Counsell, because we, you know, early on we talked about the plan and everything. We can kind of speculate about what we thought the plan was with David Stearns and Craig Counsell. But one of the big things Craig Counsell has said is they never limited what this team was going to be this year. You know, there wasn't this goal of let's go be a 500 team. They didn't put any of that. And it allowed a bunch of young guys who really didn't know any better to go out there and start accomplishing things and then feeling like they could keep accomplishing it. Now, going into this weekend, this is obviously a huge weekend. The Brewers are coming off a disaster of a road trip. The Cubs are playing their best baseball of the year. And what do you know? They play 3 games, and it's the 3 games leading into the All-Star break. I mean, you can look at the games between the All-Star break and the trade deadline as being some of the most important games that are played during the course of the season, because that's when your front office group is really saying, okay, are we going all in? Are we selling? Are we buying? There's a lot of different things, and it's a very dynamic series over the next 3 days.
Well, is it oversimplistic then, because of the directions in which these teams have been heading out of the break, to say it's a much bigger series for the Brewers than it is for the Cubs because of how they need to sort of put a floor in here to this second half?
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement, because you know what? If the Cubs walk into Miller Park and sweep the series and it's non-competitive and you're David Stearns, you got to think long and hard about possibly giving up any more prospects to make a move when the Cubs just did that. Same thing, if the Brewers sweep the series, it probably puts you right back where you were a couple weeks ago going into that road trip, where going into Monday you're really trying to add. So absolutely, I don't think anybody, even if the Brewers take 2 out of 3 or somehow sweep this series, I don't get the sense from anybody with the Cubs that they're going to be worried about what that might mean for the rest the season. I do think there is a sense with this Brewers team that this series does kind of help push which direction they're going to go moving forward.
So who's the fulcrum for Milwaukee then? Who's the one that kind of can restart the engine for the team, if you will, because we kind of have a sense for who it is in Chicago and some of the young guys who are emerging more so in that role. Who's the player, who's the voice that maybe gets this team rallied?
Ryan Braun first, because this is a guy who, you know, he's got to be in the lineup to really be that guy, and he's been in a little bit more recently. He didn't play yesterday. I would bet he appears in all 3 games during this weekend series, but he's the one guy on the team who's played games that really matter for the Brewers at the end of the season. So I look at Braun. You know, Travis Shaw has been the most consistent offensive player, but even on this road trip, he was still performing. It's not like he took a dip. Starting pitching has been really good. I don't include Michael Blazek yesterday because that was a spot start from a bullpen guy. When you look at the true starters, they're fine. So, you know, I just named a bunch of names. I'll come back to Ryan Braun. I think if there is that guy who can, you know, start carrying the team, he's got to be the one.
Where does he stand both internally and externally after what he's been through and what he did to himself and the way he behaved? And he really earned a label as a real villain because of how he acted during the whole steroid situation and what he did to ruin the reputation of the courier, the tester that did nothing wrong. Is he held in anywhere near the same standing as far as the fans go? And I'm sure that there's a lot more tolerance for some of that inside than there is outside.
Yeah, look, there's there is a contingent of Brewers fans that do not like Ryan Braun, and they take it as far to say that, you know, they try to say he's not a good baseball player because of what he did off field. And those are two very different things. And people who are never going to forgive Ryan Braun, I get that, but that doesn't mean he's not a good baseball player, because he still is a very productive baseball player. And when he's healthy, he performs. To answer your question, I think for the most part, the fan base in Milwaukee has forgiven him, outside of that probably vocal minority. And a lot of it has to do, I'd say 90% of it has to do with the way he's handled himself since. You know, from the moment it happened, when he, you know, made phone calls to season ticket holders and different staffers, to everything that he does from a charitable standpoint, to him coming to the ballpark every day and doing his work and being a great example. You know, you can't take back what he did, and what he did was not good. And I would never try to make excuses for it. It was absolutely horrible. But once that happens, you can only then go forward and handle it in any way, and he's done everything perfect since then. So from an out-of-Milwaukee perspective, he's always going to be a very disliked player. I mean, he is the most booed player outside of Miller Park when the Brewers go in. But from a home standpoint, most Brewers fans appreciate him.
Well, Matt, I haven't been to Milwaukee when the Cubs have been there since 2014, when the Cubs weren't really good yet. There's probably some Cubs fans on the road driving there for the game right now. What should they anticipate? Is it still going to be kind of this congenial atmosphere that I used to see from Brewers fans a few years back when the Cubs were terrible?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because over the last couple years, quite honestly, there's been more Cubs fans at Miller Park than there's been Brewers fans. And it's frustrating to Brewers fans at times, but you know how tough it is to get a ticket to Wrigley. Sometimes the drive to Miller Park is shorter than it is to Wrigley, and you can get in. So I'm very interested to see what this is going to be like from a fan standpoint over the next few days, if the way the Brewers have played motivated the fan base to try to go grab those tickets before Cubs fans could. So I would say it's been a very friendly atmosphere for Cubs fans over the last couple years, because there's a whole lot of blue in the stands.
Great info, Matt. We appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Yeah, anytime.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Pauly of Brewers Radio, brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com. Next up, Phil Rosenthal, the media columnist for the Chicago Tribune. And as he writes about sports media, he did a nice job trying to divine what mattered in the recent survey of NFL viewership. So we'll talk to him about that, both the national and local side of that, next on The Score.
Hi, it's David.
And Evie.
From the Little Guys Home Technology. It's been a while since you've heard from us on The Score, but we wanted to let you know we have a big announcement.
The Little Guys are moving.
But before we move, we need to sell our entire display inventory at our Mokena location with huge store-wide savings.
Every type of speaker, including bookshelf, tower, in-wall, and outdoor.
Every receiver, every subwoofer, cable, headphone, projector screen, turntable, and home theater seat.
Save 10, 20, 30, even as much as 50% off from the best brands in the business, including Klipsch, PSP, SVS, NAD,
Macintosh, Sonance, Sony ES, AudioQuest, and more.
Best of all, you can trust the Little Guys to professionally install anything you buy during the moving sale.
It's the Little Guys moving sale for a very limited time at 191st and LaGrange Road, where Mokena meets I-80. Online at thelittleguys.com or call us at 708-754-8844.
Now at the Little Guys Home Technology, save up to 50% on top performing home electronics during their moving sale, going on now at the Little Guys in Mokena. The Little Guys.
This season, hit a home run at Grand Appliance and TV, the official appliance and electronics partner of Cubs Radio. Find innovative living for less with a Grand exclusive instant savings on Samsung French door refrigerators. Discover features like the Family Hub, a Wi-Fi touchscreen for food management, family connection, and wired entertainment. Get your home a new hub and check out all of Samsung's innovative kitchen appliances at your nearest Grand Appliance location. Grand Appliance and TV, you make it home, we make it grand.
Golfers, if you're looking for a golf experience like no other, then you have to visit Bolingbrook Golf Club, one of Chicago's true golf gems, featuring a rolling 18-hole championship golf course, award-winning driving range and golf academy, spectacular clubhouse, and the Nest Bar and Grill. Your Bolingbrook golf experience will be like no other. Bolingbrook is the perfect location for your next private event, function, or wedding. To book your tee time or for more information on events, visit bolingbrookgolfclub.com. Come be impressed.
Hey, it's Jim. I can't take your call because I'm digging for oil in my basement to pay for my family's mobile bill. A little crazy, you say? Show me a family plan with enough gigs that doesn't cost a fortune. We need a switch.
Switch to Boost Best Family Plan and get four lines for only $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. Metro PCS only gives you 2 gigs per line for the same price. Plus, switch today and get up to 4 free phones, all on the fast and reliable Sprint nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save. Visit BoostMobile.com today.
If you have a Lowe's Advantage card, you can get an extra 5% off every day on items big or small. So you can save an extra 5% on a new coat of paint, updating appliances, replacing the flooring, and even save an extra 5% on little things like cleaning supplies, laundry detergent, and air filters. The big